how we met.
That's our story.
It was almost like we were meant to meet that night.
It was like kind of the classic, when you're not looking, it shows up sort of thing.
I caught the feels.
But I look back at that and I'm like, how did my parents not be like, what the heck?
Hello, everyone. And for the last time this season, welcome to The Story of Us, the show where we get to hear all about the world's best love stories, from how they started to how they grew, all the way to where they're at now. I'm your host, Jasmine, and as always, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm both incredibly excited and kind of sad because it's the season finale and I can't quite believe it. We've heard so many incredible stories these last few months. We've been around the world, we've heard of meetings on the radio, in a deli, in the Air Force, meetings overseas, meetings on a cruise ship, on Valentine's Day, and so many more. I really hope by now you feel inspired and excited, and in the last 20 episodes, I've proven to you that no matter who you are, what your circumstances are, if you want love, you can find it. And sometimes in really unique ways. Now, because it's the finale, I couldn't just bring you any story. I had to bring you something more. A story that is so extra and so mind-blowing that frankly, it's pretty unbelievable. So with me today is my amazing guest who's going to recount every scintillating detail for us. Here's a little intro.
My name is Maddie. I'm 29 and I'm coming at you from New York City. And this is my story.
I was at the Delta terminal at LaGuardia Airport moments before boarding my flight to Denver. I was sitting at the gate scrolling through my phone when I looked up. I noticed a cute guy from across the gate and realized he looked way too familiar. So I opened up my Hinge and looked back at my most recent match. My jaw dropped. Our last conversation on Hinge was an exchange of phone numbers, where we went on to text and try to make plans for a date. We had agreed that the upcoming weekend would be better, since we were both busy this weekend. The first time I said hi to him, I was walking down the aisle on the plane. We weren't sitting near each other, since I was in the 16th row and he was in first class. So I took my seat next to the window and figured that was it. Just before takeoff, I realized no one had taken the middle seat. So I shot my shot and I messaged him. 2 hours later, Austin came back to the 16th row with a bottle of wine and we had our first date. Now, we all know there is a lot more to that story than what I just read out, and we're going to get into it. But just before we do, a reminder that if you're listening to this and you have a cool love story, an interesting tale of how you met, if you know someone who does, let me know about it because I would love to feature you in the next season of The Story of Us. So email any submissions to storyofusthepodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get into it. Maddie, massive welcome to The Story of Us. First thing I love to get my guests to do is tell me something interesting about yourself. Tell me a fun fact, something colorful, something spicy, whatever it is.
This is hard. Because how can you really tell like what's interesting about you, right? People might be surprised to know that like 7 or 8 year old me was extremely particular. For about a year, I only ate hot dogs. Yes. And I only wore, purple wind pants, like long, like kind of, I don't know, they're very 80s, but they're like a bright purple wind pant. And one of my dad's t-shirts that happened to be navy and had a big race car on it. And I wore that for about a year.
Wow. That is very particular indeed. I also had a similar sort of uniform that I only ever wore. It was this pink one and a blue one. And it was a little shirt and a little matching pair of shorts. And my parents couldn't get me out of it.
I mean, at least hers was cute. I'm pretty sure my teachers were concerned about like my parents, like, you know, making sure they were like treating me well. Oh. Not to get too dark, but I think they were like, do we need to call Child Protective Services? Like, is she okay? And my parents were like, yeah, no, she's fine. She just really likes her wind pants and her race car shirt. And she has to have a hot dog, by the way. Yeah, pretty much.
I love that. That is so fun. So Maddie, next thing I want to ask you is what 3 words you would use to describe love?
The 3 words I'd use to describe love, I think would have to be trust, communication, and curiosity.
That's a nice mix. And I'm curious to see if those words sort of sprinkle in as you start to tell us your story a little bit later down the track. I'm sure they will.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'll be a broken record, I'm sure.
So let's sort of strip it back from the beginning. So I want to know, what was your attitude towards love and dating before you met your partner in that crazy, amazing story that we're going to get into shortly?
Sure. I was in a relationship for about 3 years and had gotten out of it. We just had grown apart over the course of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And after that, I took some time to really just like be on my own and like just really be actively not date, really be single and just by myself. I went to a lot of therapy and that was really, really impactful, I think. And then after about like 3 months of that, I started to dive into dating using the apps, and I was pretty open. I've always been pretty open to meeting new people, and dating has always been something that I find just to be kind of like exciting and can be really silly and honestly like a great excuse to just like put on a cute outfit and go get like a cocktail and then call it a night sometimes, you know, like, so I was not mad at that prospect. And the apps were interesting because I had never really participated in them beforehand, and I was super open to the idea of just like throwing myself out there and just kind of seeing what I'd find. You know that saying of like, you know, just throw as much spaghetti on the wall as you can and eventually something sticks. So I was really throwing that spaghetti, and nothing was quite sticking. And I got to a point where my work situation, actually, I kind of pivoted my whole career in the midst of like this dating. So it was a lot of changes. Mm. And when I pivoted and started focusing in on filmmaking, which is what I'm doing now, and I love it, I started to get really particular about like, okay, I'm really focused on what I'm going to do with my career. And now I'm going to be really focused on like what I want to surround myself with as far as like dating and men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess right before I met my partner, Austin, I was really getting specific with myself. In fact, I remember being on the phone one day with one of my friends who was also single at the time. And I called her kind of like out of desperation. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to find, but I'm writing in my journal right now a list of things I really want to see in future partners. And so far, all I have is in therapy and tall. And that's it.
Slight change to the usual tall, dark, and handsome. I like it. It's the modern version.
I don't need tall, dark. I need tall. I don't need dark and handsome. I just need therapy. I need you to be regulated.
I love that. That is so funny.
So yeah, right before I met Austin, I was really kind of getting really, really specific with myself. And I don't want to say like not compromising or, you know, not settling, because that just feels kind of general. But I was just being really, really like honing in on what kind of person I wanted to be around and spend my time with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think by concentrating on that, that's inevitably what you're going to start bringing into your life if we go down the whole law of attraction path. But that is super, super cool to hear. I guess it's a perfect segue into your story, which is absolutely unique in so many ways. So I want you to take us back to the beginning, Maddie. Tell me how you met.
Yeah, totally. So as I mentioned, I was on the apps. I was on Hinge. And I remember I was kind of going through a busier phase on the apps. I was really just like, you know, scrolling through, matching, making dates. Like sometimes it'd be like a few a week. And that was really fun. But I started to get a bit burnt out. I feel like that's kind of common on the apps. Like you experience burnout. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had like a couple matches. Using months is sometimes helpful. So like this is around September. I had a couple matches and I was like feeling kind of tired and didn't really want to try too much more. I was like, I'm going to take a break. So I had these matches and they were sort of just shuffled to the side. And I just took that break and focused on my work. And a few months passed and I decided to revisit the apps and matched with some new people, went on some dates, and like the spaghetti on the wall wasn't quite sticking. So I was like, all right, who have I matched with in the past that I haven't like actually connected with and made plans to meet up with? And I reached out to Austin and sort of like, you know, revisited the conversation and we got to talking and realized like just through our profiles, like we had some common interests and there was that to jump off of. So that seemed kind of promising. So we exchanged numbers on Hinge and we started just briefly texting of like, okay, like not a lot of like getting to know you stuff, more so like, when are you free? Mm-hmm. And it turned out that when we started texting, I was planning to be away. I was traveling to Austria that weekend that he had suggested. So I was like, well, maybe next weekend. Then we circled back that following weekend, and it turns out that we both had plans sort of pop up to just travel, and left at that. And we decided, like, okay, we're at January at this point, last week of January, really, that we're looking at. And we had agreed over text, like, okay, first week of February, let's figure out a time then. So we left it at that, and that was sort of the end of our text exchange. Mm-hmm. Mind you, as I'm actually texting him, deciding, like, okay, first week of February, we'll figure something out. I'm driving to the airport, actually, and I'm getting ready to board a flight to Colorado to go visit one of my best friends and go skiing with her and go to a concert, all of that. So it was going to be a really fun weekend. And I'm texting with him. We leave it at that. I, of course, like, go through the airport, get to my gate. And it was still like a COVID conscious time with masks and everything. So everyone was wearing a mask.
Was this last year or the year before that?
Last year, last January.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm at the gate waiting to board the flight, and I'm just sitting scrolling as we all do. And I look up and I just kind of notice this like really, really cute guy that's, you know, tall, dark and handsome. I hate to bring it back to that, but
unsure about therapy yet, but tall, dark and handsome.
We're not sure yet. We're waiting. We're hoping. But I notice him and I'm like, oh, he's really cute. And I have really bad eyesight. Like, I'm not kidding when I say I'll be walking down a street and I'll see like what I think is like a cute like dog, and I'll get closer and realize it's like a garbage bag. So I see this person, I'm like, oh, he looks kind of familiar. So I like put my phone in my pocket, get up and like pretend I'm like going to look at something near the gate to board the flight just to get a better look at him. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's 100% Austin. That's him.
Oh my God, I have chills.
Oh my God, my stomach falls into my butt and I'm just like, no way. There's no chance. There's no chance. So I like awkwardly kind of scurry back to where I was sitting, and I like start sweating. And mind you, I need to like preface that, you know, when we go on flight, like when we fly, right, I don't think that many people are really getting like very cute to go board a flight. At least
absolutely
I'm not one of those.
Yeah.
Like there are two types of people, those that do and those that do not. I am the ones that do not. So I'm wearing, for whatever reason that day, I decided to wear like my tightest pair of jeans because I had the thought of like, oh, they'll stretch out over the 4-hour flight that I have. I'm wearing I know. I'm wearing whitening strips. I'm wearing pimple patches. My hair has not been washed and I have not even a speckle of makeup on my face. And I'm wearing like a headband, which I never do. And it's just like, this is rare form. It's rare form. But I impulsively just kind of forget that. And I just go to kind of text him on my phone. And I just ask him like, hey, long shot, is there any chance that you're boarding a flight to Colorado? And he responds back like, are you at LaGuardia Airport, which is where I was. And immediately after I received that text, the gate agent says like, okay, so we're going to start boarding. So I just see him go towards the gate. And for whatever reason, they call my name. I guess like my flight had or my seat had been changed. So they call my name forward and I'm like all of a sudden like right behind him at the gate agent and he's getting ready to board the flight and he turns around and looks at me and we just like lock eyes, laugh, and then he walks onto the flight.
Like, I can't even believe that. What are the odds of that happening?
I don't know. I mean, it still boggles my brain, to be honest, because like LaGuardia Airport, like it's huge. And there are also several flights out to Colorado a day. So like the odds of this just being like this well timed out, I mean, it's ridiculous. So I'm boarding the flight and Austin is very like he travels a lot for work. So he has like a better status on the airline than I do.
And he's sitting right man in first class.
I know. So he's in first class and I walk past and I'm just like, hi, I'm like masked and everything. Just like, hi, nice to meet you. And then we just have like a good laugh. And he's like, what row are you in? I tell him and I'm just like, all right, well, like, I guess I'll see you after the flight. And that was it. And then I sit down and we just start texting and he's like, so what are your plans this weekend? Like, what are you doing? And I tell him I'm going to Red Rocks to go see, very out of character for me. My friends all pressured me into going to seeing Diplo, which is like put it this way, it's not on my Spotify Wrapped at the end of this year. You know what I mean? Yes. So I'm like, okay. So I tell him, like, I'm going to see Diplo at Red Rocks and I'm going skiing at Breckenridge and all these things. And he's like, no way. I'm going to the concert tomorrow and I'm going skiing at Breckenridge. So we're like,
I cannot deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. Like, wow. And then of course, if the people start boarding the flight, it starts like thinning out. Everyone's taking their seat. And I realize I'm in the 12th row. I'm at the window and there's someone at the aisle. The middle seat is open. So I just kind of like, again, impulsively forgetting everything about like my appearance. What are we going to talk about? Like every fear just like was absent from my mind. And I think just like, I don't know, I'm an Aries. If that's any context, like I'm very just like run and go with it. So I just said to him, I was like, listen, the middle seat in my aisle is open. I have to work for the first 2 hours of the flight. But after that, I'm free. And if you're not committed to where you're sitting, you should come and say hi.
Oh my God, this is so bold and so cool of you. Cause I feel like so many people in that situation would have been like, should I, shouldn't I? And then they board and then they lose reception or whatever. And you just did it. And that is so cool.
Thank you. I really do think the secret though is just don't think about it too much. Cause I don't know. I've made a lot of really ridiculous decisions from just not thinking. So, you know, there's that. But anyway, he responds back with an even better, like he takes the cake for the best response. He says, what are you drinking? Oh. And I just said like tequila or red wine. And
was this a morning flight?
No. Oh my God. Could you imagine? I would love that. That'd make it so much better. But no, it was like evening. So that was it. And he's like, great. I'll see you in 2 hours. By the way, I didn't have to work. I did not have to work. That was a total lie. I didn't want to talk to him for 4 hours. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. So let's just say like, I have to work. And then 2 hours is a good like time limit.
Yes,
you know?
That's a really safe idea. Just in case things aren't working out the way we hope they would.
As God forbid, I have to be like, all right, shoo. I don't know what to say. Like, oh, this is over, you know? So I tapped the people in the row in front of me. Because in coach, like you don't get free drinks, but the people that were in the row in front of me were in comfort class. So they did get free drinks. And I asked them, I slipped them a 20 and a $20 bill and a note that said, I'm about to have a blind date kind of like, would you mind doing me a solid and getting me a drink?
Oh my God, a bit of Dutch courage. You need praise.
They got me a glass of red wine and aww. I drank some of it. And then I ended up like, I don't know, like my caveman instincts like popped into my brain. And I was like, use the red wine as like blush. So I tried like putting red wine on my face.
The story just gets better and better.
It's just like chaotic, I think, you know?
It's insane. And it must have made the flight go so quickly as well. Like I bet those 2 hours that you were sitting next to each other just flew, right?
Fastest 2 hours of my life, hands down.
Oh, wow.
So after 2 hours, he scurries on back with a bottle of red wine from first class, like he's great goddamn Gatsby. And and Austin's like 6'4", 6'5", I don't know, but he's tall. And he just like squirms into that middle seat in coach and brings back that bottle of red wine and we get to talking.
What
yeah.
on earth was the person in the aisle seat probably thinking?
Oh my God. We say that all the time. We like need to like send them like a thank you for tolerating us. And like, we're still together. So like, thanks for being a team player, you know?
Yes. That is hilarious. So you had your first date on the plane.
Yeah, kind of. It's yeah. I mean, more or less, so yeah, we had that bottle of red wine, talked and like just got to know each other. And then it was so sweet when like he went back to his seat and then we landed the plane and he waited for me at the gate at the airport and stuff. Aww. And then we walked to baggage claim together. So that was really cute. And yeah, we just like met up throughout that weekend in Colorado. And it was really cool because I was with one of my childhood best friends who lives in Colorado and he was with all of his childhood best friends that live in, he's from Colorado. I met one of his oldest best friends that he's known since, I think, the third grade. And it was
how did he introduce you? This is the girl I met on the plane.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we just totally leaned into it because it just sounded so absurd and like stupid. And I mean, the next day we met up at that Diplo concert and everyone's dressed up in like ridiculous wear. I'm wearing like a vintage ski suit and like these huge aviators and stuff with all my friends. and he's wearing a floor-length white coat. Like, he looked like Macklemore. It was ridiculous. And,
it's a very far cry from you in your with your strips and your like daggy playing gear.
It was so weird. So we met up at the concert. We met up after we both like went skiing with our separate groups. And then at the end of the ski day, we met up at like this really fun bar. And like there was this great cover band playing like 90s music. And it was just really fun. And honestly, like the perfect, like most perfect first meeting I could imagine, you know?
It's mind blowing. It's might even be the best story I've had yet. Like, it's just so, so many things needed to fall into place for that exact situation to happen. And I feel like there's so many things that just shouldn't have happened, but they did.
Absolutely agree. Yeah. A lot of things should not have happened. And somehow, somehow they did. I don't know. Here we are.
Here we are. That was okay. So we're gonna roll with it and say that that was the fun part. That was your first date on the plane. But I imagine after Colorado, you would have gone back to New York. He probably would have followed at some point. So how did we progress from there? I guess, did you have a first official date?
Yeah, we did actually. So the following weekend, we went out to dinner and then went to a comedy club in the city. And after that, we just like, we're having a nice time. So we were like, let's go have a drink. And then I just was like, you know what? It's the middle of February in New York. Like, it's disgusting. And it's also late. So like, do you just want to come back to mine for a drink? And I proceeded to make the worst cocktails I've ever made in my life. These were honestly very bad.
Like too much alcohol on purpose?
No. It was like, I was trying to be like fun and like try something different, I guess. So I ended up mixing like mezcal and champagne, which like do not recommend. And like, if that is anyone's jam, like good for them, but it is not mine. So we had those, had a good laugh. And then we ended up sitting on my couch until like probably 4 a.m, just like talking and nothing happened. Like, it was very, very PG. He slept on my couch that night and I went into my bed. And then the next morning I woke up and he had gotten like breakfast sandwiches and we just hung out on my couch until I think like mid afternoon the next day. And I was like, okay, you have to leave now. Like,
oh my
this
gosh,
is...
what a dream.
Yeah.
But yeah, get it out. Was re-
But yeah, it was just nice. It was very comfortable. Like, from everything I can recall of that date in particular, like I just felt super comfortable and like there was no pressure, especially like, you know, first dates, like you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. It sounds incredibly comfortable. And I guess when you met in a situation that you had no time to prepare for and you were completely caught off guard, as you said, you didn't have time to overthink. So you probably just were yourself from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to think so. You know, I mean, rip off the Band-Aid.
100%. So. You know, what would have been hilarious would have been if he had come with the bottle, he's like sauntering down the aisles into coach, and then they're like, oh, sorry, sir, you can't change seats.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would have been some sort of intervention. I don't know how that rest of the weekend would have panned out had that happened.
Who knows? Who knows? But it happened the way that we had hoped it would. And what a story. My God. I feel like that's just everybody's fantasy, to sit with the hot guy on the plane.
I feel bad for those around us because we did get told to like quiet down a few times. So like, it's your fantasy, but you don't really imagine like the people that are watching that happen, like how annoyed they must have been, truly.
That is,
and to
so
that
true.
I say like, yeah, right? Like, wouldn't you? I know I would be like, oh God, get a grip. But now I feel a little bit differently, I guess.
Little bias. So this all happened about a year ago. So I want to hear all about the evolution of your relationship thus far. Like, how have things progressed?
Yeah. So after that first date in New York, which was like, you know, just we're both like at our home base and it's a bit more calm and like presumably a bit more normal. Things after that weren't normal. We traveled the next weekend to Vermont and went skiing together. And I feel like that kind of set the tone for the rest of our relationship, even up until now. We travel a lot together. We have the flexibility to do so with our jobs. So we're able to. And it's one of our favorite things to do together. I mean, I think a big turning point in our relationship was when sometime in like late April, I was given the opportunity to film and direct a documentary about Ukrainian civilians that were fleeing from Kiev and Bucha, and they were fleeing to Italy. And I was given like 3 days to prepare, and Austin was there when I got the call from a friend telling me about the story, telling me to go do it. And he was there throughout like me hiring the crew and all of the things that you would normally do over the span of a month. I had 3 days to do, and he was right by my side supporting me. And at that point, we weren't like exclusive. Like, we didn't have any of those conversations at that point. So it was still like just this guy I'm dating.
Mm.
And he was so gung-ho of like, you have to go for this. Like, this is amazing. And like, you can do it. And I'm a new director. This is not like a, this is not something I'm well-versed in doing, but he was so supportive. And he even told me, he was like, if you want like an assistant or like a production assistant, I will go with you if you want me to.
Wow. That's
and I was like, yeah, I mean, that for me was like, whoa, this is very different than my past relationships where I felt like there was some like limitations or not like that unconditional immediate support of like, yes, go do this.
Yeah. And so, then here's this guy that you really, in the grand scheme of things, hardly know, who's just supporting yes. you and pushing you to make probably an amazing, amazing decision.
Yeah. I mean, he did not flinch at any time. He was just like, you have to do this. And if you want me to help you, I would love to be there to support you. And he came with me and was on set with me the entire time. I mean, he was wrangling like little Ukrainian kids that were running around like screaming while I'm trying to like interview their mothers about like this traumatic thing. And he, I mean, I laugh because it's just, it was pure chaos. It was so much emotion, and he was such a anchor for me at that time. So I would say that was a huge turning point of our relationship, feeling super grounded and not just like this light, fluffy sort of romantic comedy of a relationship. You know what I mean? It felt yeah. like it was something that was really real. Everyone early on has those moments of like a little bits of fear of like, oh, like, is this little misstep going to be something that breaks us up? Mm. It's early in the relationship. You don't really know the foundation and how much you can really lean on it. Yeah. You just don't really know what's going to be like the thing that blows the house of cards over.
For and sure. It could be a massive thunderstorm or like a light gust of wind. You just don't know. So that's beautiful that he was that anchor and that he could be so quickly as well.
Yeah. I love the way you phrase that. Exactly. Like, you just don't know. That just felt like it was such a foundational moment to really catapult us into where we are now. It's been a really natural, but kind of admittedly quick progression.
I think it's not necessarily the amount of time you know someone, but it's the depth that you know them as well. The two don't need to align. Sounds like you two are so on the same level in terms of your maturity, your emotional intelligence, which is no shock that you guys have found each other.
You can know someone for years and years and years, and at some point you can lose touch with them or you can grow apart, and you know, you don't continue to grow in the same path anymore. And that happens with people you've known for your whole life, you know? Mm-hmm. So to the sentiment that you're saying of the depth that you know someone, where they are in that present time can really take you to a different place and a different depth.
So well said. You're so articulate. It's such a pleasure to chat with you. I love this.
Oh my God. I could say the same to you, but thank you.
Thanks. All right. So now let's get into the fun part. So I want to know, what do you love most about your partner, Austin?
Oh my God. It's so funny you're asking, because the same friend that I was talking to on the phone about like tall and in therapy, I was talking to her the other day and she asked the same question. And my knee-jerk response was that Austin is very smart. I mean, the guy like worked for NASA for about like 4 years. Like,
for
he's
NASA.
Incredible. Yeah, like very casual. So casual. So
that
casual.
That is like my dream job. I'm not at all like aeronautically or astrophysically inclined by any means, but I was always like, I just want to work for NASA.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he can tell you all about it. We'll set up a different episode, you know?
Okay, keen.
But he worked for NASA. He's very smart. He's a math man. Like, his brain is just, he's so intellectual. But I'm not kidding when I say the man has seen every single like Pixar movie to date. Like, every, like, he is the biggest like animated, and like not like a Disney kind of guy. Like, he's just like loves animated movies and like is such like a child at heart when those like are in front of him on a screen. And it's so sweet to me because he's so not concerned with being like this tough guy or like looking cool. Like, he's just like, no, these are great stories, and it's so sweet. He's also a huge crier, so that's very sweet too. He's genuinely a jolly green giant. Like, that's aww, just who he is.
People like that, especially, you know, what appears to be the big alpha male macho man. When you say those things, like, to me, it just sounds like he's a really secure person as well. He's got nothing to prove, no one to prove anything to. And yeah, I think that that kind of self-security is rare these days and also incredibly sexy when you come by it.
Yes, 100% agree. I mean, what is sweeter than this, like, gorgeous, like, man weeping at Coco? I don't know what
it is. Nothing.
Like, nothing, nothing. Like, I don't know. That turns the sirens on for me in a great way, in a great way.
Oh, that's a great answer. But obviously, I now have to ask you the opposite, because it sounds like you are so beyond in love. So I'm curious to pick your brains. What is something that you may not like as much, if that even exists?
Oh, it does exist. Don't you worry. Austin snores like a freight train. That's plain and simple, the answer. The man is the loudest snorer I've ever heard. And there's actually something that popped up over this weekend. We were traveling upstate New York just this past weekend. And he started doing this thing that I just noticed and, like, just started getting under my skin. It's like, you know what, that, like, when that happens, like, you hear something a few times and then all of a sudden, like, you're hyper focused and you're like, oh my God, you do this all the time. Mm. We just had one of those moments. Austin, because I can be a bit snippy and, like, sarcastic and, like, quick. And he's so sweet that sometimes I think he wants to, like, keep up or, like, kind of, like, meet me where I am, but he doesn't always know what to say right away. So he'll go, uh-huh. And he'll just leave it at that. Like, it's uh-huh, period. Like, that's his response, as if it's, like, doing something. And I called him out the other day. I was like, listen, if you don't have anything to say, then just say, like, I'm out. I'm fresh out of a comeback. Like, just own it. But uh-huh isn't a retort. That's not a full sentence. That's actually nothing. And he was like, I say all the time, what do you mean? And I don't know. I just suddenly noticed it. And I was like, oh my God, if he says, uh-huh, one more time, I'm going to flip.
That's the, like, equivalent of someone just being like, that's fair. And it's like, you have nothing to retort. You have nothing to say.
And, like, to be honest, there's nothing wrong with it, but oh my God, it just got under my skin so quick. God bless him. But yeah, those two, I'd say.
That's brilliant. I love it. Haven't heard that one before. Haven't heard uh-huh yet. So
it's not that deep, is it? But hey, it did something to me.
That's good enough for me. So with that being said, let's move to the next one then, which is, what's your favorite thing to do together? I think I might have some ideas based on what we've said so far, but.
Oh, well, I'm curious your ideas.
Purely based on what I know of you so far, traveling. You guys must love traveling together and maybe seeing movies together.
No, you're hitting the nail on the head. Those are two. I would say there's, like, three. There's only one addition to what you've said. But no, we love to travel. I feel like our common, like, comment from our friends when we see them in the city is like, okay, so why are you in New York right now? Like, why aren't you in Ireland or in Italy or upstate, or, you know what I mean? So we get that as a joke quite a bit. And yeah, we travel well together. We started doing that really early on in our relationship. And I think that's something that we realized early on, is that we travel well together, which, like, I don't know. There's that saying of, like, if you really want to know someone well, like, travel with them, do a road trip with them and see what they're really like. And we did that, like, our third date. We went to Vermont, and and something that we did on that trip, actually, that we've now done, we just did it this past weekend too. We like to play some of those card games that are, like, the getting to know you cards.
I love
those.
There's
a few of them. Yeah. Well, so I brought those on our first road trip. We had about 4 hours in the car together, and we just started reading those cards, and they were, like, for strangers getting to know each other, for friends. I, like, presumptuously bought, like, a boyfriend, like, a significant other pack.
Hint, hint.
I know. I know, right? I was like, I put it in my back pocket just in case the mood feels right, you know? But they were great, though. And Esther Perel has a great one as well. So we did a lot of those, and we continue to do them now. So I don't know. Traveling together is just a fun time for us, just, like, touch base and get to, like, some deeper questions and just talk and, I don't know, just sort of be open books with each other, even now. And yeah, movies is definitely a fun one too. I mean, we have very similar tastes, so that's a fun one. But actually, I was going to say the third addition is skiing. Skiing is hands down, I think, our favorite thing. It's so much fun. And I just started skiing recently. I started skiing about a month before I met Austin. That was something we did really early on together, and we still do it all the time. We love it. We're actually heading up to Canada in like a week and doing like a really cool ski trip there. So that's next on the docket.
You guys honestly sound like such a cool, fun, creative couple as well, I might add.
We're very boring, actually, but that's so nice of you.
I just don't believe that. I don't believe that two people who can meet in such incredible, creative, colorful ways and who have such a cool life together are boring. I'm sorry. I don't agree.
You know, it could be the universe being like, these two boring people need a good story. So we got to do them a favor. Let's do them a solid.
The last question I guess I have for you, the last main question is, what is the best piece of dating advice that you have ever received or that you have to give based on all of your experiences, based on this crazy meeting with Austin, literally anything?
Ooh, can I answer both? Like what I've received and what I'd like to offer?
Please. Yes.
Well, I think I learned a lot in therapy when I was like really focusing on being alone. And in that time, I really, like my therapist and I really worked on just, it sounds cliche and there's obviously so much more nuance to it, but like really embracing who you are and like the road that led you to where you currently are right now today. Mm-hmm. All the bad things that have happened, the mistakes you've made, all the shitty things people have done to you, all of it, every color of that, like of the corner, you know what I'm saying? And that was really helpful, just getting to like be good with myself. My mom always says like, be on your own team. And I think in that time, I really strengthened the ability to be on my own team. Mm. But once I focused on dating, my therapist said to me, okay, on first dates, there's a 2-drink maximum. Do not exceed 2 drinks, which I mean, maybe she's old fashioned, but for me, that was helpful because if I'm having a good time, I'm like, all right, so when are shots coming out? Like, let's get the party going.
Wait, can I ask? I feel like when you're on a plane, you get drunk way quicker. So did you meet that rule on the plane?
Okay, maybe a little bit, actually. I love that you asked that. It's very possible, especially with like that little glass of wine that my neighbors on the flight, you know, handed me. I had like one glass advantage.
Maddie's pre-drinks.
Yeah, yeah. That like the 2-drink maximum was like a fun, very helpful bit of advice with like the dating world. And I feel like when I talk to some of my friends that are single, like that comes up of like, oh God, we got too drunk. And then I like made a mistake or something happened and it went too far, XYZ. So that for me was like a helpful guideline. But to go back to the embracing of like who you are, I know we all talk about that. And like RuPaul says it, like, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else? And while that's all true, it's so much harder to do. It's easier said than done. Mm. And something that I'd like to offer, I guess, and like what I think that I'm grateful for that Austin and I were able to do early on and that we were on the same page of is we were really, really honest with each other about just sort of like, I like to call them like the baseball stats. Like on the back of like a sports card, you have like all the stats of like what's happened, like who these athletes are, right? I was very upfront with, and this is kind of like a serious, honest share, but I was very upfront with him about the fact that I've dealt with depression and I have a history of experiencing sexual assault. And that wasn't a fun, sexy thing to share, but mm-hmm. I figured I need to tell this person sooner, like similar to like him seeing me without makeup on, like sooner rather than later, rip the Band-Aid off and like, don't apologize for it. Like, this is just the reality of who you are and why you are the way you are, you know?
Absolutely.
And he in turn did the same with me, and that he shared with me on that night after we went to the comedy show and we were making drinks and hanging out. We talked about how his last serious relationship was an engagement. He was engaged previously and they broke it off. So we both kind of were very upfront with each other that we were imperfect. And that's not a fun thing to share. It's not a fun thing to talk about. It's not sexy and it's scary, you know? It's really scary. And it's putting yourself right in like in the line of the firing squad of like, okay, this could be an opportunity for them to completely reject me. But this isn't, these things about me aren't going to change. So either, like, as the Spice Girl said, like, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. But in this case, it's like, if you want to be my lover, you got to get down with my trauma.
Got to get with my demons.
Yeah, pretty much. That's way better. Yes.
Thank you for sharing all of that. And you know what? At the end of the day, like, that's all going to come out eventually. Like, if you're, mm-hmm. if you continue to be with this person, it's going to come out. And I guess there's the argument of, well, you know, do we release all that information so early on? Is it better to keep our cards close to our heart? I guess you just need to take your intuition there. And I think it's also a very mature thing to be able to be forthright with all of those things and air the laundry. I don't even want to call it dirty laundry, because at the end of the day, it's who you are. It's what's made you you.
Right.
But it's comforting when that person can come back to you with their own experiences, and by you opening that door the first time, it almost lends opportunity for them to do the same thing. And then I feel like from there, it's just like growth, 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 growth.
Completely. I love the way you said that. Yes. I had this one teacher that said, like, sometimes, like, things are simple, but they're not easy, but they're very simple, actually. And that's what this is. It's just simply put of, like, just putting, like, your stuff on the table and just being like, this is it. And where do we go from here, you know?
And so that's your advice. Just air it all out from the beginning. Let's talk about it. Let's be honest. Let's communicate.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, I think that, like, connecting with someone isn't easy, whether it be a romantic partner or a friend. And I think a great way to open up yourself to connection is just to be honest of who you are and where you've been and why you want to connect. And, you know, I think that in just sharing that, sharing your laundry, as you said, it's putting it in very clear terms that you care enough about them to share these things. And it's because you want to connect with them that you're sharing that.
Absolutely. I guess that's kind of it in terms of the structured questions, but I do have two other questions that I am just genuinely curious about that have just popped up as we've been speaking. The first one is, he obviously ticks the tall box. Did Austin end up ticking the therapy box?
Yes, he has been in therapy. After that engagement broke off, actually, he went straight to therapy, which I thought was very, he was like 28 at that time, I think. So that for me was like an even bigger tick of like, ooh, some shit went down in your life and you turned to therapy. That's like 9 checks on the box for me. You know what I mean? That's like a gold star.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, you know, the dating scene in New York City, like purely based on pop culture, based on Sex and the City, based on all of the movies that are filmed in New York. Is it, from your experience, is that reflective of real life? Is it hard to date in New York City?
Yeah. I think it's honestly horrible. What the ratio of men to women is like, I think it's like, for every 10 women, there's one man. Like, it's horrible. Yeah, it's very hard. And for me, at least, being in like the world of theater and dance, like, I love like all of my, you know, friends that are not heteronormative. And I love like having those friendships, but that's not my dating pool. And I wasn't often exposed to straight men. So that was particularly difficult. And I think just in general in the city, I mean, they're here. They're 100% here. There are good men here. And I, while dating, definitely met some people that were very sweet and are certainly right for someone. But it was difficult. I think the apps were very helpful in those scenarios. Yeah. Mind you, it was also like on the tail end of COVID. So in fact, I actually got COVID from one of my Hinge matches, if that is any story to share how difficult it is. So, it was a time. I would definitely say, and like I do say to my single friends that are not using the apps in the city, I kind of look at them and I'm like, what are you waiting for? Like, you kind of have to have something to springboard off of. And I'd say, unfortunately, I think Sex and the City is actually pretty accurate experience, at least. If you were to take Sex and the City and just kind of bring it into current times, like just add in a dose of like some finance Brads and Chads and you're all set.
I feel like they definitely had some of those in there in the series.
Yeah, no, we need a few more of the Brads and Chads in the, you know, 90s and early 2000s Sex and the Cities. More Patagonia vests. you know?
Oh my God. Yes. And like tweed jackets.
Oh God. Yeah. And like they're really short pants, like dress pants with like their ankles showing and like a velvet loafer.
Oh my God.
I can't even tell
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah. I mean, love a strong fashion choice, but you have to draw the line somewhere.
Agreed. Oh, Maddie. Well, those are pretty much all the questions that I have for you. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on The Story of Us. It has been such a pleasure. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I always feel like after I record with people, they're like my besties because it's just so nice to be able to like get vulnerable, share stories, and you're no different. So thank you so much for being part of it. It's just been such a pleasure getting to know you and hear the amazing story of you and Austin.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for making the time and just hearing the story of it all. And I just appreciate what you're doing so much. I think it's so great to share these really uplifting and sweet stories about how people find love and connect with people.
And there you have it, everyone. I told you it was epic, didn't I? If the story of Maddie and Austin isn't a sign to just go out there and do it, then I don't know what is. I think it's a perfect one to wrap this season because it really does have so many elements of everything we've explored this season. Courage, vulnerability, humor, playfulness, the list just goes on. Massive thank you to the beautiful Maddie for sharing that story with such class, and massive thank you to you, my beautiful audience, for tuning in and listening every week. It has been such a dream putting this season together, and I feel so lucky and so privileged that you've been open to sharing your stories. Now don't fret, we may be done for the season, but I will be back later this year with more stories and exciting content for you. If you don't already, come join the fun on Instagram at Story of Us Podcast. And if you love this season, then please do give the show a rating and review anywhere you get your podcasts. They are most welcome. In the meantime, keep your eyes on the socials to see when I'll be back. Happy dating, happy loving, happy lifing. Bye.